Lynn. Hey guys, I'm sorry I missed that teaching. It sounded like a good one. I'm going to have to go back and catch it on the recording. Connie and I spent the day in the lake, which was fun, fun, fun. But I'm thrilled to be here with you guys. Welcome to Spirit-Led Movie Watchers Discussion Group. This week we watched a movie called The Nines. I hope you enjoyed red or tan. I hope you enjoyed watching this movie. It's a fabulous movie. I've seen it many, many times. And as I mentioned this morning, this time Connie and I watched it. We watched it on John Mark Stroud's site. So he had a lot of insights that I had not seen before. Let me quickly summarize, and then I'm going to turn the mic over to whoever wants to talk about it. I'm just reading to you from the Google site on The Nines. Three actors, Ryan Reynolds, Hope Davis, Melissa McCarthy, tackle the principal roles in a trio of stories. In The Prisoner, a publicist and a neighbor are the only links to the outside world for an actor under house arrest. Reality television charts the production of a TV sitcom. In Knowing, a video game designer and his family are stranded in the forest after their car breaks down. So that's the Google explanation, but wow, doesn't this thing go a lot deeper than that? So so I'm going to ask who wants to tell us their take on this movie. Okay, Lynn, take the mic.
All right. Thank you so much, Jacqueline, and thank you for picking that movie. That is one of my all-time favorite movies as well. And I had never seen it. It had been around for a while, but, you know, I don't watch things or see things. I'm, you know, kind of live in a different world. But Chad Cameron made me, he begged me to watch that movie, and I eventually said yes. And so I was shocked when I saw it. I was in a state of shock for days after I saw the movie The Nines, because it just I just saw so much of my own life there. The recklessness and destruction that, you know, I'm going through, just, you know, attempting to, break out of, this supposed reality that's just so absurd. And that was what I, thinking, watching the movie, everything was so absurd. The situations were so insane. The first situation where he, burns his house down and, you know, goes and hooks up with that, you know, that woman, and they go get, crack or something, and they're like, I mean, just, he just goes through all, I mean, just total meltdown. And, you're like, you know, what is this about? You know, I'm thinking, Chad, why are you having me watch this? You know, this is just, I'm worried for this guy. I'm scared what's going to happen to him. But then as things go on, and then as the stories go on, and you see him going into more and more insane situations, and all the whole time Melissa McCarthy is just so just pivotal in helping him keep straight. So I consider, even though, you know, I don't go by the numbers, the nines and all that, because, you know, I think we're all tens. In fact, we're ones. There's no numbers. There's no differences between us. But I saw her as really kind of the Holy Spirit character in the movie that was guiding him, that was helping him, and that was, you know, helping to correct him, but never really going into why, what was happening. And then, you know, when she finally did tell him what was happening, and he was able to see it and believe it, you know, it shifted everything. It changed everything for him. And then, of course, then the last story was just haunting me. I was so mad at Hope Davis. I thought, what is she doing? What is going on with her? But then in the end, I was like, what kind of a crazy biatch is this? You know, why would she do this thing? But she too was one of those awakeners. She was like the Holy Spirit. And then after you saw it, all the roles that all the different parts of the different characters who were representing the Holy Spirit mind calling to him and trying to get him to wake up. Yeah, this is not an ambush. This is an intervention. Exactly. When you saw the things that they did. So when Regina was just talking about my teacher, Trungpa Rinpoche, who did drink, and he was, and he did, do things that the world would say is a bad thing. But he was doing what it was that he was here to do, and it had something to do with our awakening. Just like the prostitute woman, just like everybody in that movie was playing a part to help him awaken. But they were not all, church ladies, church people. They were not kind people that were out there trying to help him out in a kind way. You know, they were beating the crap out of him in many ways. And he really had to see the truth and let go. But when he saw the truth and let go, it didn't destroy everything, because she then, Melissa McCarthy, had the life, the peaceful life that she had, really wanted, the family, everything that she wanted was hers, and she knew that's where it came from. But everyone is helping him find his way home. He's reading that book Candide, which is, my favorite, The Best of All Possible Worlds. There's so much symbolism throughout the whole thing. The nines, it doesn't really mean anything. The term the nines, or the name the nines, but it just says, look everywhere for the highest. Look everywhere for the truth. Because it is everything that you see everywhere you look. So I love this movie. I loved Ryan Reynolds in it. I loved, all of the characters were beautiful and compelling. And it just was, for me, like I said, I had a tremendous shift when I saw it. And I was like walking around in a trance for a couple of days after I saw it. So, this is how transmission happens through something like the media, a movie. There's transmission of energy. Regina was talking about that earlier, about transmission of energy, or about, when we're in an angry vibe or bad vibe or whatever, it does transmit. Same thing if it's something wonderful, and you can, that vibration is in everything. So it did something for me. I don't know if anybody else got anything out of it, but I loved it. So I'm going to let go of the mic and let someone else speak.
Oh, that's awesome, Lynn. Thank you so much for sharing. That's great. Yeah, and you were saying, the nines didn't really mean anything. What John Mark Stroud was saying was that, they don't mean anything per se, but exactly what you were saying, just look for the signs. And, at one point in there, Ryan Reynolds said, when you look for them, it changes things. And John Mark was saying, that's kind of like quantum physics says, the observer, someone observing the experiment changes it. So, yeah, it's just symbolism. He even mentioned that it was like, 11-11. I always get a kick out of seeing 11-11. So it's the same thing. So it's just, where your attention is, which is really cool. All right, who else wants to share their experience of watching this movie? Lynn, I'm so thrilled that you enjoyed it. It's really cool. I wish I could be there to watch it with you. That'd be fun. We'll do that when I come back out to Colorado. Okay, guys, who else wants to share their experience of the nines? I guess Miley's not here. Miley said this is one of her Miley said this is one of her favorite movies. Who else wants to share? Anybody? Did you all watch the movie? I got you, Regina. That's good. Well, I will also say that John Mark had a little bit different take on this, but that's what's so cool about movies is, you know, it's a symbolism for who? For me. For I'm watching the movie, right? So it's about what I take away from the movie. The shifts for me. I said shifts with an F. but yeah, it's for me. And that's what's so cool about, you know, about just praying and saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to see while I watch this movie? And so that's what we're looking to hear from you guys, what you saw when you watched the movie. Jay, did you watch the movie? I'm calling you on you. I'm putting you on the spot. Okay, well, you should watch it sometime because it's a really good it's a really good movie. Yeah, so basically, in this movie, what Ryan Reynolds finds out, as we all know, is that he's the one who's creating the world that he sees. And as we move through these three vignettes, let's see, the first is the prisoner, second is reality television, and the third is knowing. And one way to see this movie is him moving through these various stages and where he's getting closer and closer to the recognition or the remembrance, actually, of what he is. And, you know, so he ties that string on his wrist at the beginning of the movie. And it's like, you know, when you tie a string around your finger so you can remember something, that's the idea. And if you'll notice, throughout the movie, he's wearing this. In all his different roles, he's wearing this thing around his wrist. And, pardon me. And, of course, at the end, when he pulls the string, the world just rolls up. And I got to tell you, that is the coolest scene. Okay, Regina, that is the coolest scene for me. I love that scene. Because I imagine that's exactly how it's going to happen. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. What's it look like when it actually happens? I don't know. But I think it's the coolest thing I've ever seen when the world just starts to roll up in front of Ryan Reynolds' eyes when he accepts the fact that he is fully responsible for the world that he sees and he's completely willing to move on. And the world just, it rolls up like a carpet. And that's just really, really cool. Okay, yeah. Okay, Regina, take the mic. I'm letting go.
Hey. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there were a lot of great points in this movie, and I'm looking forward to hearing what John Mark Stroud had to say about it. Jacqueline, hopefully that's what you're going to do, is share that. I saw the movie, three or four days ago? So that means already I've forgotten the vast majority of it. That's the way my memory works. But what has stuck in my memory, which probably what was most important to me, right, what I have not forgotten, were two things. One, although it most definitely was a movie about remembering who you are, I didn't see it as just a movie about remembering who you are. I saw it as a movie about recognizing your attachments and releasing them. Because when they were explaining to him who he was during the intervention scene, when they were explaining to him who he was, they were telling him how he loved his creation so much he wanted to be a part of it. And remember in the one scene when he was a writer and he had written this television show for, what's her name, Melissa McCarthy? They went to all this trouble to separate him from Melissa McCarthy, and then they canceled his show. And he was so mad, you know, that he felt tricked, he felt betrayed, and he was so mad that the people that he thought was working with him were actually working against him. That was his perception at the time. And what he was told was, we had to get you away from her. She's no good for you. And, you know, that's not something that you understand at that point in the movie. But at the end of the movie, during the intervention scene, you realize that what Melissa McCarthy symbolizes is attachment. He even says to her, you were my favorite, right? She symbolizes attachment. So, you know, if I take that and I bring that into self-inquiry, bring that into looking at myself, the question becomes, what are my Melissa McCarthy's? What are my attachments? What do I enjoy so much that I would rather believe that I am the role than know who I am? Right? What do I love so much that I think the bottom line is the reason that we do not wake up is because we don't want to. As much as we all say and as much as I say, you know, I want to wake up, I want to wake up, I want to wake up, the truth is we don't. And we all at some level know this. And we don't because we love something about this life, this person. Yeah, Jasmine's waving at me. Jasmine's saying, I'm your Melissa McCarthy. You know, so, and Jacqueline says, hi, Jazz. So the question, you know, again, if we want to just watch the movie and instead of saying, oh, yeah, that was a cool metaphysical movie, because I do think we can make that mistake. You know, belief systems love things that support their own belief system. And one thing the ego does with our spirituality as we are on this path of awakening is instead of just using the spirituality to wake us up, the ego identifies with the spirituality. So for one degree or another, the spirituality actually unfortunately becomes a new belief system. And so when we become identified with, you know, our spirituality and the metaphysical and all that, we can love a movie just because it reinforced our belief system. And that way, it's actually the ego's use of spirituality. So if we want to, and just instead of just saying, I love this movie, it was exactly what I believe. Do you hear that? It was exactly what I believe. If we want to use the movie to wake up, if we want the movie to be a part of our intervention, we need to begin to ask, what are my Melissa McCarthy's? What are my attachments? What do I love so much that I do not want to remember who I am? I'd rather play the role with this attachment than know who I am. And that's one thing that's magnificent about the movie. It gives me chills, is in that scene when he does take the bracelet off because he's going to go back and remember who he is, right? His favorite attachment is standing right there in front of him with tears in her eyes. And he's able to let go anyway. I love that scene. That, to me, is representative of wanting truth more than anything. You know? The other part that I remember 3 or 4 days later, it was a little line that Melissa McCarthy said. This was back in the first story when he was the actor on home arrest. Thank you, Jasmine. He was on home arrest. And this was when he was asking her questions and she was coming clean with him and explaining, you're a 9, I'm a 7, and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And he asked her something like, is this real? And she said, well, it's as real as anything is. It's as real as anything is. And then she said, everything is just what it is. Now, of course, during the intervention, what they were telling him is, this is not real. This is not real. So one could ask, well, which statement is true? That it's real or that it's not real? You know, she said, this is as real as anything is. And then the others during the intervention were saying, it's not real. It's not real. And to some degree, both are correct. You know, you could talk about, if you want, real with a capital R and real with a little r. The reality with the capital R is that we are, you know, I don't know what label you want to put on it. We are, I like right now the word untouchable. We are untouchable. We are that which is before, during, and after. We are that which cannot be touched. That's our reality with a capital R. But this moment of form also has a reality to it that should not be denied. It's a very temporary instant that comes and goes like that. But it is not to be denied. And unfortunately, some people use spirituality to deny this moment. They use spirituality to cover up. For example, let's say you do have a grievance against someone. You know, let's say you don't like someone. You somehow use the spirituality to cover that up with all of the little spiritual sayings, and you don't look at what's going on within you. You don't experience this moment of anger or hatred in a just watching way, which would set it free and let the moment pass on and die. But we don't experience the reality of the instant because of our denial. And so I love the fact that both the untrue was called real and reality was called real. You know, we need to be able, with our untouchable reality, experience this current moment that has a very, very, very temporary reality. I think this was very related to what Jacqueline was talking about this morning as well. And if there was a third thing that stuck in my mind about the movie, what was the star's name, Jasmine, the boy? It's how darn good Ryan Reynolds looks with his shirt off.
Amen!
All right, that's it for me. Thank you.
That's great. I like the amen in the background. That's great. whoop, whoop, Kathy says. That's great. Yes, he does. He's a lovely man. He is. It was a fun movie to watch. Tom and I talked about the metaphysical nature of the movie itself. I mean, isn't that cool? I didn't look to see, you know, who wrote it, who directed it, but it's really neat that they're able to set those things out the way that they do, you know, to have such rich symbolism. You asked Regina what John Mark Stroud said, and it's basically what I said before, that this was really, these three vignettes were tracing his journey. You know, in the first one, he's fully committed. He has no clue that there's anything beyond his existence. You know, he starts to recognize it when he starts to recognize it at the beginning of that vignette when he sees he doesn't have a belly button and goes, oh, my God, I might be God. And of course, that's the shift. That's the turning point. That's where he allows himself to begin to see, to allow for greater possibility, that he's more than the life that he's been living. And really the entire movie traces his journey back to where he really, you know, he begins to look at the possibility, and then he begins to actually take responsibility, for sight. And, you know, and the more you do that and the more willingness you show, and like, and that's what, Hope Davis said there at the end. She said, you know, I can't take you back or make you go back unless you want to go back. And that's, and like you said, then at the very end of the movie, then he shows total willingness to go back, even with his most beloved creation sitting there with tears on her face. So, yeah, I think that you really nailed that. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that he said that I can think to share. It was fun watching it with John Mark. He's great. yeah. Okay, Kathy, please take the mic.
I got to laugh as I'm listening to all the comments. My husband and I both watched the movie, and we did it like, maybe within the first week after you had suggested that we, you know, that this was the movie. And so here we are 3 weeks later, and I remember so very little about this movie. And you guys are mentioning, you know, different snippets and scenes, and I'm thinking, you know, I don't remember seeing that at all. So I'm always amazed at how much more information other people seem to pick up that, God, it doesn't even connect with me. And movies, you know, have really never been a, like a biggie for me. Like I'm not one who loves to watch movies. And so it's almost like an exercise for me to, in fact, make the choice to do it and sit down and watch the movie and then try to, you know, pick up what's being laid down, and then 3 weeks later recall it. So I have to laugh at myself because it's almost as if I hardly watched the movie at all and just didn't really, you know, see that much into it. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just not one of the ways that, you know, spirit speaks to me in a really loud and clear way. Most of the time I feel like I have my finger up my nose and I'm like, what? You know, what is this about? I can never really figure it until it's like, I have to think about it. And if it's like, if I have to think about it so much, it's like, I feel like my ego is somehow involved in this. And so it's, I don't know, it's just sort of a weird thing for me, but it makes me laugh when I hear everybody else's comments. At any rate, I'll let the mic go. See you guys.
Thanks, Kathy, for sharing. Regina, please take the mic.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned, like Kathy, even though I only watched the movie 3 or 4 days ago, I don't have as much excuse as Kathy. She watched it a few weeks ago, but I have trouble remembering the movie now. However, Lynn wrote something on the board that reminded me of another part of the movie, so I'm able to share another interpretation that came to me. Lynn wrote, I loved Hope Davis singing that song, Is That All There Is? And again, when that was happening, there wasn't any understanding of that. But later, at the end of the movie, when it's an intervention and you realize she's there to help wake him up and bring him back to truth. And you also know that, you know, by the end of the movie now that a part of his problem, part of his denial of who he was his attachment to his world and to Melissa McCarthy. Then when you listen to the Hope Davis song, Is That All There Is? What she was doing was she was sending him a message in that, you know, she's saying, look, I needed to experience some things too, but then I experienced it and said, boy, is that all there is? And then I experienced something else, is that all there is? And then I experienced one other thing, is that all there is? And then I realized there's nothing here for me. There's nothing for me to be attached to. And I didn't get lost in my own game, right? And that reminds me very much of Elie Ruzdar's teaching to us. You know, Elie Ruzdar talks about how some of us are experience seekers, and some of us are truth seekers. And so in this movie, Ryan Reynolds represents an experience seeker, right? In fact, we see him in three different roles, experiencing, you know, being different people. And again, very, very attached to Melissa McCarthy in all three. And what she was trying to say is there's not really that much in experience. You know, it's just look, there's not that much in it. And that was just one of the subtle messages she was sending to him, to help him shift his perception so that he could let go of his attachments and awaken. All right. Thanks. And by the way, hi Brent. I'm wondering if that's Brent Haskell, maybe trying out Pal Talk because he's going to be here in a couple of weeks. So I'm wondering if that's him. If it is, hey Brent. Hey neighbor. Okay. Letting go.
Thanks, Regina. That was great. Yeah, yeah, good insight there. Lynn, please take the mic.
Oh, thank you. And yes, I was going to say, is that Pamela Silberman here? The Simply Being? Could it be? Oh, my God. Hi, Pammy girl. Oh, you brought her in here? Yay! Hey, what you're doing? Oh, how very funny. and Brent, good to see you if that is you. And Brent has his hand up. But with something I was going to say before this real quick, and I'll just say this and turn it over to you, Brent, is that when you were just talking, Regina, I just actually realized that what Melissa McCarthy actually represents, I was thinking the Holy Spirit because she was taking care of him and helping him, the ego thought system. It's the ego thought system that maintains the status quo of the ego world. And so, is that what John Hochschild said? That's, yeah. So she was there to facilitate and enable him being able to operate in the illusion and to maintain his set in the illusion. And yeah, Hope Davis then would have been the Holy, which I always thought that she said you were the one who's deceiving him, and I never really got that, but now I just, wow, that's really great insight. And so him and the hooker and all those people that were there representing the Holy Spirit in all their different ways, they were not all nice. In fact, they were not nice at all. But they were there to wake him up and bring him home. So I'm going to let go of the mic and let Brent have the mic. Thank you.
Shoot, Brent, we saw you take the mic, but then we didn't hear any we didn't hear any sound coming from you, or I didn't anyway on my end. I'm sure somebody can talk Brent through this. I'm going to let go of the mic and let well, he did have the mic, didn't he, for not a nice long time. I guess you guys are used to talking folks through this. Any insight for Brent? Lynn, I'll let
Okay, I'm not sure what kind of settings you have on your computer. I see that you probably just downloaded PalTalk and got a new name because you used to have a different name. So what I'm going to do is make you my friend and take you into another room and walk you through this because it could be a lot of different things that are keeping you from being able to speak. If you can hear, you should be able to speak. So I'm going to PAL you And if you would right click on my name on the list, which is AT Sanctuary, and PAL me, then I will go into another room and help you. And I'll let go of the mic for Jacqueline.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn. That's really sweet. that's great. Let's see. What else did John Marks say? I mean, this is a great movie. It is completely full of symbolism, as you guys found out. I, too, liked the part. You know, when initially you see Hope Davis tell Ryan Reynolds, you know, I've got a secret. You think you're a man. You're not a man. And you're thinking she's like, you know, questioning his machismo, right? but in reality, she's telling him this, yes. In reality, she's telling him the secret that we all become aware of eventually. That's the secret that he realizes at the very end of the movie that in fact he is not a man. He is like Melissa McCarthy told him in the earlier scenario, in the prisoner scenario, he is a multi-dimensional being with almost unlimited power. Yeah, I mean, wow, what great symbolism is that, right? Who's that sound like? Us? Yeah, and so, yeah, who knew? So it is kind of cool that that ego is the one that delivers that information. But, you know, but it's what we're seeking for. And again, once you begin to seek, you find. Once you've made yourself willing to look for the nines, to look for the symbols, you see them. And can appreciate your role in, you know, that whole responsibility for sight thing, your role in relation to the world. Regina, take the mic.
Yeah, well, one thing that's fun about coming together and discussing the movie, of course, you know, like when I watched the movie alone, I had some clarity, and that's wonderful. But when we come together and we bring our clarity together, it's like one clarity setting off another clarity. Like I guess when I was sharing, you know, first Lynn shared, and Lynn's perception at that time was that Melissa McCarthy was in a Holy Spirit role. And then I shared, and, you know, I talked about Melissa McCarthy as the attachment. And then after Lynn heard my sharing, then she came back and said, oh, now I realize Melissa McCarthy was the ego thought system. Well, now I'm coming back on top of Lynn sharing. We're like piggybacking here, leapfrogging here. I'm coming back saying, oh, my goodness, that's the attachment. You know, I mean, some people might think that, you know, Jasmine is my attachment. No, the attachment is the ego thought system. If Jasmine was to disappear, and in a way Jasmine does disappear because she goes away to CSU during the school year. She's not here with me on a daily basis. We don't talk on a daily basis, so she disappears from me. But guess what's still here? The ego thought system, right? Jasmine is not really the attachment. The ego thought system is the attachment. So, yeah, I just really love how the clarity is becoming more clear as we get together and discuss it. And this is the benefit of the movie group. And again, to everyone who didn't take the time to watch the movie, can you imagine what a wonderful feast of clarity this would be if we all watched the movie and brought clarity back? And what I didn't do this time that I might do next time is kind of take notes. Not notes about the movie, but notes about my clarity as it comes, because I do forget things by the time Sunday night arrives. So maybe next time if I'm taking notes as I'm seeing things, it'll be a little helpful. I can bring a little more to the table. But this is great fun, how one clarity sparking another clarity, sparking another clarity, and we are awakening together. All right, I'm done.
Thanks, Regina. Yeah, that does motivate me to get on the stick and watch the movie. I tried to double up last time because the time before I didn't go to the movie group. So now I'm at least here, though, Jackie. So maybe I didn't watch the movie, but I am here. So one thought I had was, about the number 9, just a quick numerology side thought is it symbolizes, like, it's obviously considered a very spiritual number in the sense that it's usually means completion in most of the numerology systems. Like, if you look at the number itself, you've got a circle at the top, and then you've got a little stretchy thing coming down the right side to come down to the bottom, almost as if, God serving man, or like the higher reaching down serving the lower kind of thing, like as you, the form of the letter itself. So I thought it was a really appropriate number to call the movie. Giving up the mic.
Okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I had heard that 9 was a spiritual number. Yeah, like 999 being the opposite of 666 or something. I don't know. But yeah, that's very cool. Okay, Larry, you had your hand up. Are you still here? I do not see you, Larry. Yeah, he's down there at the bottom. Larry, you want to take the mic? Okay. Hey, Larry, take the mic. Okay, I'm letting go.
Hey, sorry about that. I'm out on my bike. I don't know if this is picking up or not, but I did watch the movie The Nines. I first thought, well, I'll go to Netflix and watch it on Netflix, and Netflix didn't have it. So after Netflix didn't have it, then I thought, okay, I'll go on to Hulu, and they didn't have it. And then after Hulu didn't have it, I went on to Amazon Prime, and they didn't have it. So I started Googling it, and I found the whole movie, the entire movie is on YouTube. So I watched it on YouTube. I really enjoyed it. A lot of symbolism in the movie, and the thing about the title of the movie, The Nines, message, then he started circling all these nines. And to me, that's like symbolic of reading the Bible and taking a literal
Larry, we lost you. I'm sorry. It was really interesting, so I'm really sorry. I assume that was Larry's mic. I think he turned a corner on his bicycle and left us behind. I assume you guys are hearing me now. All right. Yeah, good. Lynn, take the mic.
It's interesting that Jay brought up the number 9. And I have always been in love with the number 9. It's my birthday, 9. And but 9 itself is the coolest number. It is absolutely the best number, because anything multiplied by 9, if you add up the digits of that, they always add up to 9. Doesn't matter how many times or what you multiply it by, you add up the digits and they add up to the number 9. And so it is symbolic of the wholeness. Basically, it's symbolic of wholeness because it always completes itself. And you teach that time table trick? Yeah, it is really, really cool. Yeah, and there is a cool. There's several cool things about the number 9, but yeah, you multiply 9 by anything, by 10, by 50, by 700. When you add up the numbers of the result, like if you multiply 9 times 700, you're going to get 3,500. Now I can't even multiply 9 times 5. Anyway, you add up the numbers, and they all add up to 9 every single time. Doesn't matter. And so that is why is complete, is a perfect number. Yes, and 1 is to 3 is 3 is to 9, and 3 is to 9 is 9 is to 3. Yes, it's a square of 3. It is a perfect number. So, I mean, it's just an amazing thing. So it's one of those symbols that we put into the dream to remind us of things. And so since I was born on the 9th, I always remind myself. And 9 times 5 is 45, and 4 and 5 adds up to 9. So, anyway, let him call the mic.
Yeah, that's really cool, Lynn. I think that YouTube movie that I watched talked about it in terms of holograms. That's what you call it, holograms. I can't remember the connection, but I know that there was one. Yeah, a lot of you guys were born on the 9th. Yeah, and again, it's all about it's all about the symbology. You know, it's like the finger pointing at the moon, right? It is really cool. What's it point to? That this is no, you know, this is no mistake. There are not, you know, there are no no real coincidences. That we're all being led home all the time. We're all following the call all the time. And Lynn, that's what I really liked in your take on the movie. And I knew when you were saying what you were saying that John Mark had said something a little bit different. But I loved the fact that you saw everybody was leading Ryan Reynolds home. You know, and that's the truth, right? Whatever it is, whatever we're doing, if our aim is to go home, then everything will lead us there. So I just really thought that was cool. Good stuff, Maynard. All right. Wow, this hour has flown, hasn't it? Yeah, it's easy to make a universe and just walk away from it, but no, you have to start meddling. That's great. And you know, Teddy, that's the truth, isn't it? And I really liked when she said, when he said, well, maybe I could come back and visit every now and then. She says, we all know that if you're going to do that, you'd be back next week redesigning the pine cones. You know, and so what that was really talking about was this idea that, you know, if you're going to give it up, you give it up. You don't say, oh, you know, just the important things that I'll look at from a spiritual perspective, but I'm going to keep my hands in this and do all this. I mean, that was symbolic of. No, you're in one thought system or the other. You can't dabble a little bit or you'll be back redesigning the pine cones. You'll be confused about what is really important. You'd be confused about, you know, the journey being one home instead of fiddling around here with silly stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, who else would like to share their experience of the movie? We have a few minutes left. Teddy, take the mic. Teddy, you're going to take the mic. bye, Ron. All right, Teddy, I'm going to... oh, where'd you go? Teddy! He's gone. Okay, well... that was fun. All right, I guess he'll be back or not. All right, well, I think, yeah. It looked like a computer thing to me, too, when he just disappeared from the room like that. Before we talk about next time's movie, movie, I did want to say I also really liked the scene at the end, that best of all possible worlds, that he left. And, you know, it's like, for me, it was kind of like, oh, my God, what happens to the people that you leave behind? You know, not that you ever could, but I know a lot of us, when we start the spiritual path, we're like, oh, well, you know, my boyfriend doesn't feel that way, or you know, my spouse doesn't feel that way, and what happens if I leave them behind, you know, and nobody gets left behind. That's the idea with that, because not only did Melissa McCarthy not get left behind, but what he left in his wake, once he decided to follow his heart and do what he was required to do and go home, everybody benefited. Everybody lived the best of all possible worlds, or you might even look at it as the real world. Okay, Teddy, please take the mic.
Do I have sound? Strange internet out here on Sundays. So what I think is interesting is, you know, the part where there's a little bit in there that actually is reminiscent of the creation story in the Bible, where Adam falls asleep and he doesn't know, and as it says in the Course, and never does it say again in the Bible that he awakens. Adam falls asleep and he has not awakened yet. In the movie, at one point in time, she says to him, "How long have I been gone?" And she says, "You've been gone 4,000 years." So it's interesting that it's very similar, and it's followed through with some of the popular myths to try to tie stuff together to make things make sense, all in terms of some new age ideas that have likewise sort of, you know, become incorporated into, yeah, there's a lot of modern day parables out there, Jay. It may be helpful to read them once in a while as well. You know, it's very reminiscent. And I saw the movie a long time ago, but I remember it, at some point in time, all of these movies fall apart in one place. It's like they could only keep these stories together long enough for people to buy into them, but they can't really end them the way, you know, things actually are, because they still want to maintain an ending that is within the world of space and time, which is, you know, not. Well, it's true, The Matrix. I mean, everybody loves The Matrix as a movie. The only problem is the real world in The Matrix was where all the fighting was. I mean, the real world did not resemble the real world as we are asked to know the real world. So that's what I'm saying. These movies all tend to fall apart.
Oh, Teddy, it didn't sound like you were actually done talking and you quit. Yeah. Teddy, take the mic.
No, I was just commenting on what Teddy just shared, because I have had that very, very same exact thought a bunch of times when I watch movies like The Matrix or other spiritual movies. The first thing I thought about The Matrix was the very thing Teddy just shared, which is, okay, you wake up from the dream and you're just in another world that has war. You got these machines and these people growing in these little pods, and it's, you know, one race has enslaved another. And I always wanted to try to see how can we create a spiritual movie where whatever the analogy is and whatever you're waking up to somehow is, like, correct metaphysically. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it stays true to the overall correct truth picture. So I just wanted to echo that thought. I've had that exact same thought. And I think these are great movies, don't get me wrong. I'm glad you picked them, but it's just an overall comment about spiritual movies, I guess, in general. Giving up the mic.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Jay. Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's like, it's just like saying, you know, it's beyond the ability of words to express. And why is that? It's because words are a human concoction, right? Symbols of symbols. And what quote unquote really happens is beyond my ability to say. It's beyond my understanding. So, yeah. Love actually is the next Love actually is the next movie for next month. I want to get that said before we run out of time here. Yeah, it is a sweet movie. It'll be fun to watch. Lynn, you'll love it. I know you love sweet movies. So, yeah. Oh, good. Is it on Netflix? Oh, I thought you said it is on Netflix. I don't know. I can't say. Sonia, if you can't find it, let me know and I'll upload it to Dropbox or something. Maybe you can watch it that way. So I'd be happy to share it with you. Well, I haven't seen that, Titty. I'll have to watch that. Maybe that'd be a really good one. Love actually is our movie next month. Listen, guys, this has been great. It's always great. It's exactly like Regina said, you know, we just build on each other's understanding. I'm not really into that, but that doesn't mean it doesn't have redeeming value, the lopping of the heads. But really, watch next month, watch the movie. If you didn't watch this month's movie, we love you, that's fine. But come next month having watched the movie, because it is fun to see how your own insights, or hopefully the insights that you gained by watching the movie with Holy Spirit, can really blossom. And we saw that happen here tonight, can blossom once these insights are shared with others. So, there you go. Thanks, Regina. Love actually follows the lives of 8 very different couples in dealing with their love lives in various loosely interrelated tales, all set during a frantic month before Christmas in London, England. So, it's fun. Bad haircuts, yeah. Okay. All right. All right, guys. Well, I've said everything I have to say. We're a few minutes early, but 2 minutes early. I'm going to give up the mic. I love you dearly. We'll see you next month when we watch the movie Love Actually. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.